إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a mi'ar, He gave a standard, He gave a measurement for the ulama. Who is an alim? We think that an alim is somebody who went to this madrasa or that madrasa, this darul ulum, that darul ulum. He is a mufti, he is a muhaddis, he is a mufassir, he is fulan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not use any of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a measure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَى. Allah said, the ones who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most, the one who have the khashiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their hearts the most from among the ibad, from among the slaves, are the ulama. So who is an alim? An alim is the one who has khashiyat of Allah in his heart. How do you get khashiyat of Allah? We were talking about what is taqwa. The result of taqwa is khashiyah, and the reward of khashiyah is tawakkul. These three are related. The result of khashiyah, if you have taqwa, what is taqwa? Taqwa is the fear of displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who has the fear of displeasing Allah? The one who knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I don't know Allah, then I have no fear of displeasing or pleasing or anything. But when I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I have the fear of displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't want to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what. That is called taqwa. That produces in the heart a condition which is called khashya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَىٰ جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِئًا مُتَصَدِّيًا مِّنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Allah said, if this Quran, if this kalam of Allah were to be sent down onto a mountain, the mountain would humble itself. The mountain would shiver and disintegrate and turn into dust. مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ, because of the khashiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah said, we give these examples for people so that they will reflect and think. Khashiyatullah is that condition which is the result of taqwa. And the reward of khashya is tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Freedom from all stress, freedom from all fear. Now why are we talking about about taqwa? Because taqwa means what? To have this consciousness of Allah that I do not want to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all. Now knowing Allah, how does that happen? Yesterday as I said, it happens because we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now there is a difference between knowing and knowing about. And this is the cause of great confusion among the people. People think that knowing about means knowing. Right? Knowing about means knowing. For example, if I ask you, Abid Rasul Khan Sahib is sitting here. If I say, do you know Abid Rasul Khan Sahib? Yes, yes, I know him. He is the son of Abdul Manan Khan. He is born on this date and he went to this school and he did this and he did this and he did. I said, sorry, excuse me, I am not asking you to give me the entire biography of Abid Rasul Khan. I'm asking you a simple question. Do you know Abid Rasul Khan? So is there a difference between knowing about and knowing? What is that difference? The difference is, do I know the person myself? If I pick up the phone, if I call him, will he answer my call? If I go and knock on his door for something I need, will he open the door? If I invite him to my house, will he come? I may not know everything about him. I may not know his date of birth and this and that and who is his wife and who is his son and who is his daughter. No, I may not know all that. I don't even need to know all that. Do I know the person? Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond any misal, but this is for us to understand. Knowing Allah and knowing about Allah are two different things. And this is the cause of great confusion, and that is why we fall into this trap where we think that we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where actually you do not know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you only know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You may know a great deal about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no doubt about that, but you still do not know Allah. Now, what is the sign that you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The sign is taqwa. And what is that sign? Taqwa produces two conditions. One is, taqwa produces a fear of doing anything which displeases Allah. So if I want to monitor myself, And the idea of all of this is only for us, one reason, and not for you to monitor somebody else, for myself. So if I have taqwa, if I have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there must be two things visible in my life. Number one is that I must not do anything which displeases Allah. So taqwa, actually the way I say it is that taqwa gives us two shields, protects us in two ways. One is it protects you from sin because I fear to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I will make sure that there is nothing in my life which displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I cannot claim to have knowledge of Allah. I cannot claim to have to say I know Allah, and then I am also lying and I am cheating and I am deceiving and I am stealing and I am, you know, slandering and doing ghibat and Allah knows what. These two cannot happen. It's like saying there is light in this room but there is darkness. How can that be? These are two mutually exclusive things. There is either light or there is darkness. There cannot be light and darkness in the same place. Similarly, there cannot be khashyatullah and the disobedience of Allah in the same place. It's not possible. You can't say, I have khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but when you look at my life, you find that there is all kinds of disobedience of Allah. I am indulging in all sorts of haram. I am doing all sorts of bidat. I am eating what I should not be eating. I am earning in a way I should not be earning. You say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is rubbish. I said, no, hold on. I wrote 20 books on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can sit here and give you a dars of 3.5 hours on Ayatul Kursi alone. I can tell you how many times this particular word comes in the Quran. I can tell you how many nukat there are. That is not a sign of the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any decent computer program can do better than that. I don't even need to know anything. Today, if I sit on Google and I do a database search, all of this stuff and more I can get in 10 seconds. So what does it mean? That my computer is a wali of Allah? Because the computer knows all this. I have got two awliya Allah in my pocket. One computer and one cell phone. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means my life must be free from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise I don't know Allah. No matter what I talk, no matter what I say, I do not know Allah. Number one. Number two shield is that the knowledge of Allah, knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, produces a sense of complete and total confidence. There is no fear of anybody else. No fear of anyone else. Total and complete confidence, because I know my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. If I ask him, he will give me. If I call him, he listens to me. He is Sami'ul Basir. What is the meaning of that? I can give you that the linguistic meaning of Sami. I can give you the linguistic meaning of Basir. I can translate Sami and Basir into 5 different languages. But if I don't have the sense of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu is listening to me, every word that I speak is Basir, he is seeing me in every single situation that I am in. If this feeling is not inside me, I don't care how much of tafsir of Sami and Basir you can do not know Allah. Simple as that. Why did Allah use these two terms? Laitha kamithlihi shay'un wa huwa Sami'ul Basir. He is not like anything in the creation. He is the one who sees everything and he is the one who hears everything. Sami'ul Basir, hears and sees. This is because knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us these two shields which cover us and protect us. Protect us from sin, because I cannot do anything which displeases Allah, because he is Sami'ul Basir. As-Sami'ul Basir. He is seeing, he is hearing. How can I do something wrong knowing this? Very big difference between knowing and knowing about. I do a lot of wildlife photography and I go to different wildlife parks and all that. One of my friends in South Africa, in Port Elizabeth, he has this beautiful sanctuary, wildlife park and so on, called Kwantu. Now, one of the things in Kwantu is a lion breeding program. So, there is a pride of lions which is out in the bush, which is open. And there are a whole lot of lions which are in enclosures. So all of the enclosures have, they have a double chain link fences and they have electric fences and so on and so forth because the lions are inside. Now believe me, when we go out in the bush, we haven't even seen the lion. We only know that there are lions, wild lions in this place. There is a different condition in the heart. And when I am standing outside this lion enclosure and I can see the lion 2 feet from me, there is a different feeling in the heart. I am standing in front of the lion, which is 2 feet from me. I have got zero fear in my heart. Why? Because I know this lion can't do anything to me. This lion is behind all of this mesh and electric fencing and whatnot. But out in the bush, I will not get out of the vehicle because I know there is a lion. I have not seen the lion. Maybe the lion is 50 miles from where I am standing. Maybe the lion is 10 miles from where I am standing. I have not even seen the lion. But it's not because I am afraid of something. I am a sensible human being. I know that if I am on the ground with a lion, then there is only one ending to that, right? And I am not interested in going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that way. Knowing something is a very different thing from knowing about something. That is why Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahmatullahi alayh, one of the greatest ulama of this ummah. Imam Ahmad was a great muhaddith. Imam Ahmad knew more than 125,000 ahadith in his memory. He used to call, there was a man during his time who was a friend of his called Bishr al-Hafi. And Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi used to hugely honor him and love him and give him great respect and used to call Bishr al-Hafi my sheikh. So somebody objected. A man came to him and he said, how can you call Bishr your sheikh? Because Bishr does not know all of these ahadiths and so on and so forth. I mean, not that he was a jahil or nothing like that, but I mean, you know, there's a difference in the expanse of knowledge. So he said, Bishr does not know all this. How do you call him your sheikh? Imam Ahmad said, Bishr has the hasil of ilm. He said, he has the purpose of knowledge. He said, what is the hasil of ilm? He said, khashyatullah. Now, this is Imam Ahmad's own humility. It does not mean that Imam Ahmad did not have khashyatullah. It's just that his own humility in talking about somebody. But the meaning, point he is making is that here is somebody who has khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the measure, the mi'ar with Allah. Allah is not looking at what official position you have in this world or, you know, how many books you have memorized. No. Do you know Allah or not? I want to close with one real life story which I saw with my own eyes. Some months back, we had an enormous storm here. I mean, all of you saw that. You were all in the city at that time. We had this huge storm, winds of over 100 miles an hour, and the canopy over this lobby here, it blew away, got ripped out. It was grouted in concrete. The whole thing got ripped out and got thrown to the other side of the building. We had a water tank on the roof. I think it was 2,000 liters or 3,000 liters. That got ripped out of its bedding and got thrown somewhere. And it was cut like with a knife. Right? That was a very, very violent storm. Very heavy rain. Now, it so happened that in my flat, the balcony on the other side, the living room balcony, we had gone out somewhere and pigeons made a nest in one corner of the balcony. So when we came back, it was highly irritating, but they were very dirty and very untidy, so leaves everywhere and, you know, all that. But there were two small chicks in that nest. So I said, well, what to do now? You can't kill the chicks or eat them or something. So I said, leave them alone. So they were there. That nest was in one corner of the balcony, completely open to the elements. Then this storm came. Now that day when the storm came, we were busy shutting the windows and this and that. And I noticed that that mother pigeon, she wedged herself between two panels of the glass door to the balcony. So between two of the panels, this mother pigeon got into that. So she was safe. I tried to see if I could check out the chicks and so on and see if they are safe or not safe or what, but I could not see it because it was at an angle. And the wind and the rain and so on was so violent that I dare not open that screen door. So anyway, we left it like that. The entire place was flooded. The whole balcony was flooded. The water came into the living room and so on. About an hour later or something, when the storm abated, I went and to check. I opened the door of the balcony. What do I see? I see the entire balcony is completely flooded with water, except that little place where the pigeon nest is. Wallahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is witness. I have photographs of that. I don't know if I can find it or not, but Allah is witness. I'm sitting here. If I'm lying, Allah knows if I'm lying. That corner of the balcony was dry like a bone. There was not even a drop of water in that corner of the balcony. The rest of the balcony was flooded. Number two, pigeon nests are a disgrace to nesting birds. They are the most untidy things I've ever seen in my life. So there is a lot of grevillea here. So there was a whole bunch of, you know, dry grevillea leaves scattered. Not one single dry leaf got blown away. The dry leaves which were scattered around these nests were still there. That whole nest area was completely dry, not a single drop of water. And the dry leaves, even the dry leaves were not blown away. In 100 miles per hour wind which ripped out the canopy from the lobby and whatnot, didn't touch that. And why? Because of the dua of somebody who knew Allah. Who is that somebody? Me? No. That pigeon mother. That pigeon. Wallahi, I said to my Rabb Jalla Jalalu, I said, this is the dua of that makhluk of yours. Not me. That pigeon. And I can imagine what she must have thought. She knows what is coming. She knows this is, there's nothing I can do. Ya Allah, my two chicks. She saved herself and then she called on her Rabb Jalla. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controls the winds and He controls the water and He controls the rains. The dua of the one who knows Allah. In this case, who was it? That pigeon. And Allah is witness. This story I told you is absolutely 100% true. I'm not exaggerating anything at all. It is true. I've seen it with my own eyes. And as far as I'm concerned, it's one of the biggest miracles that I've ever witnessed in my life. The dua of one bird. Why? Because that animal knows its Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. That animal worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, even the birds which fly, they know what is their salah and they know what is their dhikr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guards those who know Him and who worship Him. And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. The one who has taqwa, Allah will extract him from his difficulties. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ هَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. And will provide them risk from sources that they cannot even imagine. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. And the one who has tawakkul on Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become sufficient for him. He will not need anybody else. For any need, Allah will fulfill all his needs. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to enable us to be among the muttaqeen. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put taqwa in our hearts, to put His khashyat in our hearts, and to put His tawakkul in our hearts, and to fill our lives with His khashyat and with His tawakkul, and to have our lives reflecting His obedience in every aspect of our lives, and to fill our hearts with confidence and fear nothing except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahim.